It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Sound Mind. What is it that strikes you about any inspirational speaker or writer that you've ever encountered? What is, if you could put it in one or two words, three words, I'm counting them as I think them through here. What would you say strikes you about any motivational speaker written or heard? And by the way, I'm here with Mark Holland, who's going to keep the wheels rolling as we move along.
Well,
here.
That inspirational speaker would get me motivated. We're talking about that this week. Motivation, self-motivation, motivation, motivating somebody else. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? You were saying before we went on the air, sometimes in your marital counseling, and I know that I've had those discussions too. Well, what do you want to do today? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? And just people are just kind of stuck.
And then we start to get very soon taking it out on the other person, you know. And
I'd like to lose some weight. I think I'd like to lose some weight.
Yeah, it can be weight, can be just seeing life pass us by, and I want to get doing something, go somewhere, do something.
Well, I would think motivation and learning how some motivation techniques for self-motivation, this would come up a lot in your life coaching. You're both a counselor and a life coach. Mm-hmm. I would think that this subject is a big part of coaching.
It's a big part of coaching, and it's a big part of dealing with anxiety and depression, anger, and all those emotions that you come to counseling for, because our world is either growing or getting smaller. It's either getting larger or getting smaller. And so I have had a number of clients over the years, a large number of clients who are in this situation, just as that you described there, Mark, and my wife and I have had those conversations too. Well, what do you want to do? Well, let's do something. Well, I don't know. You know,
what do you want to do?
And then well, we never do anything. Well, tell me what you want to do. Well, I don't know. What do you, and back and forth. So I've had these people say, you know, I want to get out. I want to hike. I want to travel. I want to remodel the bathroom. I was talking to a friend of mine who has a remodel project that's been going on at his house forever and ever, and he and his wife can't decide on and the countertops or whatever, you know, and they've put in a couple of different ways, you know, and then once they get it in, you know, somebody decides they don't like it, so they just threw up their hands and, you know, they're kind of not going to go forward with it. So we get stuck in trying to motivate other people, and that's why I asked the question, how do you motivate other people? Well, motivational speakers are there to motivate other people. And the one thing that I have that has been remarkable to me about every motivational speaker that I have ever heard or ever read of is that they are motivated. And that's how they motivate other people, because they're motivated. So we're going to talk not so much about motivating other people today. We're going to talk about being self-motivated. You know, Jesus was the greatest motivator. He was the best at anything good, of course, but he was the greatest motivator. I've kind of boiled down, when you do this with God, you're always wrong, but I've tried to boil down, just for the sake of our discussion here today, the key to Christ's motivational genius in just a couple of things. And one, he knew exactly where he was going. That was one thing that inspired people. Here was somebody who knew exactly where they were going. But, you know, person can be know where they're going, and they can be so confident it can be offensive. Have you ever what we're talking about? Mm-hmm.
Somebody who they're kind of a know-it-all, and I don't need to learn anything. I know everything.
And I've even seen I think my wife and I have had these moments. I seem to recall. I know we've had these moments with our daughter, and I know growing up that my parents had these moments between themselves and with us, and I've seen it around in different clients, and that is, okay, then if you're just going to do it yourself. As a matter of fact, years ago, I was helping a group of people start a church, and we were just kind of trying to put together a music department, and there was a drummer that came along, he was going to play drums for the church, and there was another musician kind of adding people here. was actually a fair musician, and he was getting frustrated with the drummer and with the other people. And he said, you know, I'm thinking that I just might start a small music group and just... And so the percussionist was saying to him, okay, fine. Yeah, you just go do it yourself. You just... And so this person's motivation was just offensive, you know, because, well, you just go ahead. You just go do it yourself. Well, you're not going to lead, motivate very many people if you're so, let's say, far down the trail that they say, you can't give up. We used to have in school... Grade school. It used to be a bell that would you go out for recess. I guess
they
still
have a bell. Yeah, it's probably automated now. Or
yeah,
it's like
and then
a speaker.
Somebody would come out and ring the bell, or the bell would ring. And so you can. I think everybody has seen this on the playground. So try to imagine yourself. You're with a chum, or maybe somebody that's not particularly close to you, and you're going back toward the bell, and one or the other person starts to walk a little faster. And then I start to speed up, and then they speed up, and I speed up. And the first thing, it's a dead run, and somebody gets left behind. And here's what the person says: they stop running and they shout, "I wasn't racing anyway."
Right.
So that is a bad motivational tool to get so far ahead of people. Mm. So Jesus knew exactly where he was going, but he didn't get so far ahead that he didn't. And this is the other thing: he was patient with the people that were following. So it was two things. He knew exactly where he was going, but he always let the people who were following understand that you can come too. I'm going to hold your hand and we will go together. We are going to go. I'm not going to go.
Even though he was Lord, he didn't really lord it over them.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And you know, whosoever will may come. So as parents, or spouses, one of the first things we want to know about, you know, motivating other people is that I need to be motivated myself. And so we're going to talk a lot about self-motivation, but also I need to be always reaching back and be patient with the people that I'm bringing along, realizing that in their mind, they have a different struggle. You know, they're following, so they don't get the benefit of knowing exactly where we're going and why. They're following me in a sense. I've got the lead, and that's a little different than...
You're not talking about being a better leader necessarily here, but just be a more motivated person. Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting, too, as you say, starting out here, it's about establishing hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, establishing hope. Obviously, if I don't have hope, it's going to be really difficult for me to be self-motivated, and so therefore I won't be able to motivate other people. So the first step to self-motivation is really kind of getting a sense of what I'm about, what's my place, because a lot of times I have felt lost in a process or maybe prioritizing some things that I want to do in life. The further down the road these things are, the more difficult it might be presently to define them. So sometimes it requires, first of all, just like some contemplation. Maybe we call this getting centered. What is my place, and where do I find myself typically fitting in best? And I'm kind of talking to the person who is really pretty much lost in, they want to motivate a spouse, or they want to motivate a child, but they themselves don't seem to be going in any particular direction, or they know they should get going, but they don't know what direction they should be going in. And it may be come as a surprise, but someone said know yourself, and that turns out to be a huge task. I like to say we can't see behind our own eyeballs. Knowing yourself is difficult. Sometimes I find that I need input from other people.
What do they see about you?
Yeah, yeah. What do you say? And you might ask friends. You might ask your spouse. I asked my wife one time, more than one time, but one answer she gave me is just poignant and just sticks in my mind forever. But I asked, what do I really do? What do I do well? And I was puzzled. And we can get that way. We can kind of get lost in it. So sometimes it takes part of the process of just sitting down and saying, where do I find myself fitting in when things are really working? Where am I usually? If I'm not a leader, or maybe I am a leader, but where am I really? And what we're talking to partly about that is just how do people value me? What is my value in God? spending time with God and being really quiet. I remember hearing God speak to you, which for some people is a puzzle, isn't it? You know, I don't really hear God speaking to me. Was it Joan of Arc that was on trial, and at least
well, she was pretty self-motivated. She kind of scared people,
and she had the and she talked to God, and she was on trial for talking to God. And then they asked her, "Aren't you really just imagining these things?" And then her response was, "Isn't that how we hear from God?" So I think, you know, we're quiet before God, and I think that what we can expect is maybe not always an audible voice or something like that, but kind of a growing certainty or assurance that we have value with God. And the other thing is that God is going to be happy any direction that we go, and that he's going to bless us in any direction that we go. We're going to talk about that a little bit later when we talk about the difference between ways and paths. But that's the first step, is just kind of, you know, getting centered. Another thing is stop comparing. You know, once I kind of get a calm about, okay, I'm going to choose a direction. I'm going to list some things that I can be passionate about or interested, how I want to maybe help other people. Maybe I don't see myself going in a particular direction, but I see some people who are doing something I'd like to be involved in, and how can I be involved in that? So once I sort of have a calm about a direction that I might want to go, and the sort of person that I actually might be, because I'm asking people and I'm spending time with God and seeking this out, then I want to stop comparing myself with other people. You know, we don't all have the same calling, but every life is a miracle. In Psalms 139:14, love that Psalm 139, when David says, you know, I praise God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and on and on. Yeah. Read Psalms 139. That's a great psalm for a person who's just trying to get centered and trying to accept God's how God values you and how God sees you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I think that's you know, kind of the first step to getting ourselves ready to be motivated. Is kind of getting centered, getting God in on the conversation, and maybe a spouse, and maybe some friends, and observing other people and observing their motivation, and just kind of seeing that for myself and saying, yeah, okay, I can do this. I can be motivated to go in a direction.
Maybe even getting a life coach involved in your life.
Someone like
Daniel Pryor.
A mentor or a coach.
And that's kind of what you specialize in, counseling and life coach. Daniel Pryor, you have services in Bellevue
and Edmonds.
Mm-hmm. And how do people get in touch with you?
The phone number is 425-778-6169. And they can also contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And you have this other website, too, where your writings are.
Writings, yeah. Posting writings from time to time. And there are some in the archives, some good ones in the archives, and some current articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. That's ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
We'll return with more of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor, talking about the subject of self-motivation this week. And we'll be back here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And we're talking about motivation. We started off by talking about, you know, a question that I get a lot in family counseling, marriage counseling, quite often, how do I motivate the other person? And of course, it starts with being motivated myself. So we were just talking about being centered, you know, because before I can, it's sort of like a runner, you know, before you get out of the blocks, you have to have your balance. So we're getting down the blocks. We need to be balanced. Otherwise, you tip over and you don't get a very good start. So getting centered. And then from there, we go into, moving into some kind of a direction. And there was a book out. It's still out, by the way. what color is your parachute? I kind of do an Archie Bunker on this a lot of times. I'll say, have you heard of the book, What Color is Your Umbrella? And so my wife always chuckles as and you know, or I get surprised looks on people's face that they know I haven't read that the Umbrella book. It's ironic, I was thinking last night, that that's the mistake I make because, you know, what color is your parachute means you're going to take a risk. What color is your umbrella means you're covering up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an, maybe it's a Freudian thing with me. You know, I'm showing some cards here. The name of the book is What Color is Your Umbrella? And yes, it's about risk. I mean, the assumption is you're going to jump. You know, life is sometimes about a jump. And so being motivated once I'm centered and I kind of have a sense of, you know, God's going to bless me no matter what direction I go. I had an invention that that God gave me some years ago, almost 20 some years ago. And because I was always tinkering, trying to come up with, you know, if I could just invent something. And so I would draw things up and make little toys and things. And then one day I just said, you know, it's kind of walking along and not really in prayer, but I said, you know, God, I want you to give me a really good idea. And probably within 6 months, I'd come up with this idea. I met somebody that kind of had the other end of the puzzle and we sort of put together this thing that, you know, so I've been selling this for 20 some years now.
Was that your organizational system?
Tabbing systems. I've been selling it to college bookstores and psych students. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when I had just discovered this and we had been, you know, the people that the manufacturer that put it together for us entered it in the national design competition and it won first place nationally in this best 100 designs for labels and systems and things like that. And so I was selling that and I could only afford a little bit of inventory and all the money that came from that inventory had to go for more inventory. Mm. Plus I needed to borrow a little. And so I'm selling these things and people are telling me what a great idea it is. I'm just selling them pretty much word of mouth.
This was before Shark Tank.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm selling these things. People saying what a great idea it is. And they're saying, boy, you just got to be getting rich. Well, I wasn't, you know, getting rich. And so I had this second talk with God. I said, you gave me this great idea. Why did you not bless it? And of course, on the other end of the conversation, it's total silence. And I'm not, but I get this in this kind of an epiphany. And it was, what if God had nothing to do with it? And I thought, well, then it would be easy. I would just market it, right, the way everybody else does. And then total silence again. It's just kind of like, again, the impression I got was, well, go market it. And from that, I want people to take this. Just because it's your idea doesn't mean it's not God's idea. And the anointing abides with you. You know, God delights in your ways. We're going to talk about paths and ways in a little bit. So just because it's a good idea to you doesn't mean it's not a good idea to God. So, God delights in his children being creative in that. So a lot of times, what color's your parachute? Sometimes it's a risk, you know. But what are your interests? What do you have to work with? I used to do voc rehab counseling many years ago when I was working through graduate school. Injured military workers, injured state workers. And, of course, the federal government did a little bit better, but a lot of my clients were state injured workers under L&I. And, of course, the state would only give you like 53 weeks of training and kind of a ridiculous amount of training. Some of these guys had been making $30 an hour in the forest or, you know, building bridges. And now they're with an eighth grade education. They weren't worth very much. So I always tried to look at their life and say, what do you have? L&I is going to give you 53 weeks. You're not going to be able to make a lot of income, but what do you have to add to it? And I met people who did amazing three-dimensional carvings and people that were amazing artists, you know, just painted beautiful things like you'd see in an art gallery. And they would just, well, you know, I kind of do this, you know, and maybe that then would be part of your, part of the total picture. You know, what do you have? What are your interests? What do you want to help others do? Sometimes I can't find an interest in my life, but I see somebody else's life and I say, I'd really like to be involved in that. Well, what might be unique about you? What do you have to work with? You know, what color is your parachute? So once we're centered and we're trying to get in a direction, because I, you know, have a lot of couples that will, you know, come and say they can't get their spouse motivated or they can't, But then, as we talked in the beginning of the show, you know, well, what do you want to do? Well, what do you want to do? Well, whatever you want to do, but let's just do something. Let's not do nothing. Well, tell me what you want to do. Around and around and around. You know, what direction do we want to go? Obviously, we seem to be talking about goals that are further down the road. This could involve more immediate goals and plans. I talk to people about the inbox, for example. A lot of times the frustration that I feel that I've got to be doing something and that other person is responsible for coming up with the idea, a lot of the angst lies in the fact that I've got an inbox that's full of things that I haven't gotten around to, and I really need to go back there and organize that inbox and get the sense of movement in my own life.
Yeah. I got that. I got a full inbox. And
I think that's everybody to some sense. You know, get a sense of movement in my own life. And a lot of times that's what the other person needs, is to see movement here. I remember one time spiritually, we had a spiritual thing going on in our house, and I was frustrated because my wife and I, we didn't seem to be growing spiritually. And so I was frustrated about this. But you know what was really going on? You can probably read right through this. What was really going on was I was frustrated with my own lack of spiritual growth, and I was wanting her to be the person responsible for me not growing.
Mm.
It's very similar to what we're talking about here.
I think that happens a lot.
Yeah. My wife has a lot of wisdom. I would say to her, you know, we never pray together. And she said, I'm not stopping you from praying.
Yeah.
And it hit me right between the eyes, of course, because that, yeah, that's exactly the problem. I mean, it's not that we're not praying together. It's that I'm not leading. You know, I'm not leading by example. The spiritual head is the person who's the first person in the water, you know, the first person to, you know, to take the weight. And so a lot of times just, you know, getting that inbox, you know, where's my frustration coming from? It doesn't have to be a goal way down the road, you know, the property we want to get.
Well, and this is something we brought up during the break, too. For me, something that's really been valuable to me, I don't know how often I do it, but the whole idea of living a day at a time. Mm-hmm. I get pretty worried about the future and maybe failures in the past of how, you know, if that's any indication of the future, I don't want to do anything, so I'm kind of stuck.
Yeah.
What about that? Today is the day. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How does that affect staying motivated?
It's interesting because I think that people that fear the future are really living in the past.
Mm.
What we're really doing is projecting a record of failure or hopelessness from the past toward the future.
Yeah.
We do want to live toward the future. I talk about living in the present future instead of the present past. We only have the present moment, but it's either we're either leaning toward the future or toward the past. So, yeah, a lot of times that comes from the same thing that I was just talking about, not kind of feeling feeling stuck. And, you know, if I'm not moving forward, I have no alternative but to live in the past or project the past, you know, and then I think I'm living in the future because I'm afraid of what's going to happen in the future. But that's actually living in the past. It's not living in the future. It's projecting failure and hopelessness from the past into the future. So we talked about hope a little earlier on. That certainly comes into play here. But a lot of it is just having a sense of movement in my life. What we're really grappling with here is some things that we've talked about on the show before, and we'll talk about again, is that need for value, control, and power in the immediate in our life. You know, to feel that I'm a value, to feel that I have control, and to feel that I have power or resources. And one of the ways to get that sense of those things right away is to look at that inbox and say, I can't do everything, but I must do something. And so I can look at that inbox and organize the inbox and say, you know, what is the stuff that I'm left undone, whether it be in terms of relationships or in terms of industry or the setting of goals. And I want to jump right to that because the next thing that we're looking about in motivation will be, you know, a sense of where am I going and how am I going to get there. And I'll just be able to hit the tops here, and we'll bring it up in another broadcast. But setting goals, not dreams, but goals. You know, the difference between a goal and a dream is that the goal has steps and the dream is free-floating. It's not attached, and that's a dangerous thing. Goals we can equate to patience, and dreams we can equate to anger.
Mm.
And so that's a kind of a thing that could be discussed in a lot more depth, and we'll do that, I think, on our next show. And then paths and ways. The Bible makes a distinction between paths and ways. You know, your ways are belong to you, and God loves your ways. The Bible says that He, God, delights in your ways, but He directs your paths. And so we don't have to have the plan all laid out. We need to, consider our ways, in your ways, consider God in your ways, and He'll direct your paths. Those are things that we'll hit like in another program upcoming. So I hope that's helpful. If you want to motivate other people, you have to be motivate yourself and get moving.
Well, I like this quote you put on here too. Rome wasn't built in a day, but they were working on it every day.
Yeah.
Do something every day.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a good one for staying self-motivated. Well, if people need help with counseling, life coaching, of course, you also specialize in. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. Also, through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
This has been Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.